Com. You're in the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This week on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have a fascinating book we're going to talk about with Marie Jones, who hasn't been on the Paracast for several years. We just seem to be missing each other's schedules. So we forced her to sit down in front of her computer and talk to us. And the book is called This Book is From the Future, with a subtitle, A Journey Through Portals, Relativity, Wormholes, and Other Adventures in Time Travel. Sounds to me like you must be a fan of Doctor Who.
To tell you the truth, I never really... Oh, God, people are going to kill me for saying this, but I never really was a huge fan.
Okay, you were never a fan so much of Doctor Who. There's a big level of fandom of Doctor Who, but he travels around in what looks like a 1950s... phone booth or police phone booth that on the inside is bigger than on the outside and travels through time and space. Now, understanding that you're not a fan of Doctor Who, and Doctor Who is one of these characters where you can have a different actor playing Doctor Who, but he is still Doctor Who. And of course, he never uses the name Doctor Who. He's always called the Doctor. Do I make sense yet?
You do. And it's not that I'm not a fan. I just, for some reason, never watched. I understand the cult status of the show, and I've read about how popular it is, but I can never seem to figure out when it's on or be in front of the TV when it's on. So it just was one of those things I never got sucked up by, like I did maybe with the early Star Trek or even Lost, shows like that.
When it comes to Doctor Who, it's on BBC America in the United States. If you have a DVR, you can always record shows and catch up. And right now they've got a young guy named Matt Smith who's playing Doctor Who. But here's the point I'm going to talk about, because we're talking about wormholes and time portals. And the stock and trade of Doctor Who is that the inside of his craft, the TARDIS, is bigger than the outside.
Right.
With all your studies of time travel, is it possible for this dimensional anomaly or whatever it is?
Sure. Anything's possible. When you get into all the theoretical physics stuff, sure, anything is possible. And that's such a widely used motif to the idea that I've seen horror movies even where somebody's gone into a small house, they get inside, and it's just gigantic, as if they've slipped into another dimension, another level of reality. So that's a device that's used, I think, in a lot of science fiction, fantasy, and horror storytelling. But sure, I mean, we have no idea whether or not parallel universes and other dimensions, other levels of reality exist. But theoretically, you hear them discussed all the time in the halls of science.
Well, of course, with Star Trek and the Star Trek universe, we have something called warp drive. Is that, in a sense, going in another dimension to go through outer space faster? Is that what warp drive is all about?
Sure, and I think it's also overcoming the limitations of light speed, and it's like in Star Wars, all the famous scenes where they jump into another reality, another part of the universe through a wormhole or through a little shortcut through time and space. So, yeah, it's like an accelerated elevator that takes you from one level to the other very quickly.
And when we look at that, of course, it was easy to use that as a gimmick, a plot gimmick, because it was boring to show someone traveling in a spaceship for 25 years and going into some sort of suspended animation.
Right.
That, you know, goes back to the famous science fiction film Forbidden Planet. And you got to think that the Leslie Nielsen character in Forbidden Planet influenced William Shatner when he became Captain Kirk. It was a kind of swagger. Before we learned that Leslie Nielsen was a practical joker and a comedian. But the point is, there, the pilots of the spaceship and the crew went into some sort of stasis. They were in sort of suspended animation chambers.
Right. Sleep mode.
Sleep mode, but that doesn't make for a lot of fun, so you had warp drive. But that's an interesting question, too. In doing fiction of that sort, the people who create Star Trek or the people who create Doctor Who or anything showing space being warped, time travel, whatever, Are they going back to science or real scientific knowledge to do this, or just making it all up?
That's a really good question, and I think in some cases it's a pure imagination, just pushing outside of the envelope of what is available at the time, what science and knowledge is available at the time to these writers. Because, you know, a lot of these writers obviously had an interest in the subject. I'm sure they did a little bit of research, but obviously the science at the time was very limited. So I think it's a combination of looking at, let's say it's a science fiction writer today. So that person would look at everything that has already happened, but also what's being discussed theoretically, and then just take that and run with it using their imagination. And I really think that all science fact, quote unquote, begins with science fiction. I mean, somebody thinks a thought or imagines something as being possible, and science eventually will either catch up with it or disprove it or take it in a different direction. But it is really interesting how these fiction writers just imagine the future and how so much of it is really coming into play.
Well, also, when they do science fiction movies or TV, they quite often have some kind of scientific advisor.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Who provides a little bit of science. Of course, you know, what will normally happen in a situation like that is that the scientific advisor says, well, this is a little bit screwy. And the producer will say, yeah, but it's just a TV show.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, it's fiction. But it does give a little bit of a foundation for some truth. I love Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I know it has nothing to do with time travel, but I love the fact Dr. Jalen Hynek was a consultant. And so even though the movie was purely fictional and very imaginative, he was there to provide some basis and some foundation for the plot line and what the characters were going through. Obviously, we don't want just cut and dry fact when we go to the movies or read a novel or even watch a TV show like Star Trek or Doctor Who. We want to take it as far as we can. We want the imaginative aspects there.
Well, just as an example, I'm not going to give too many spoilers on this, but there's a minor spoiler. In the movie The Dark Knight Rises, you have a scene where Bane, the villain, literally breaks Batman's back.
Oh.
But
ouch.
Somehow he is cured. And I won't go on except saying this guy is kind of like a wild chiropractor type.
Yeah,
who helps Batman recover, get his back fixed so he can beat the villain or thus and so. I won't get into those details.
So this is the medical science of the future, backbreaking. Wait, who knows?
Right. It's not a backbreaking thing. It's a bat break.
Bat breaking.
It's a bat break. Because it's Batman, and everything about Batman has to have a prefix bat.
Exactly. But
so they bat broke his back. It's not a real broken back. It's a bat broken back.
Right. It's not like what we would experience because we're just lowly humans.
Well, it's billionaire Bruce Wayne. Except
he's a billionaire now, right? Now, didn't he start as a millionaire?
I don't know. Yeah, he was a millionaire in the comic books, but these days he has to be a billionaire.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Things have changed. Science has changed. Actually, what's happened is financial world has changed. You know, being a millionaire was something in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. But these days, you know, millionaire is commonplace. This person is an industrialist.
Right.
He has this humongous company with his board of directors and stockholders. Therefore, he's a billionaire, except in The Dark Knight Rises, where a lot of his fortune has been frittered away, maybe.
Right.
But that's not time travel. So,
no.
What I want to ask you as we get on with the show is what attracted you to the subject of time travel and the implications of time travel. But I want to say something about one of our regular listeners, somebody who has participated in our forums for a long time. And he wanted me to mention this because he's such a loyal listener. Captain Robert J. Watson Sr., father of Paracast Forums member Robert J. Watson Jr., better known as Ves V. Highfolk, died after a long and brave battle with cancer on August 3rd. Captain Watson served with honor and distinction. He had one tour in Vietnam. He was also posted at Fort Benning and Fort Hood and Fort Dix. So this person served his family with distinction, and his son says he will be missed. And he and his family are in mourning, as we all are, because this is somebody who served his country with distinction. Captain Robert J. Watson, Sr., father of our listener, Robert J. Watson, Jr.
May he rest in peace.
With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You know, neighbors, during the summer, it seems like almost everyone is on a different schedule. They have vacations, they have shorter days, and they work remotely. So meeting all your clients and colleagues in person can just be impossible. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face no matter where you are this summer. Here's how it works. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in a group HD video. You can even get an iPad app for it. How about that? Plus, GoToMeeting is so easy to use. You know, our listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. So don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Use the promo code PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com to get a free trial for just 30 days, neighbors. And don't forget that special iPad app.
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best-kept health secret ever. See for yourself at CamelMilkForSale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we continue our excursion back through time or into the future with Marie Jones, who with Larry Flaxman wrote a book called This Book is from the Future. But not literally. It's about the future, I guess. But, of course, this book wasn't written in the future, was it?
I wish. By someone else. And I could just soak up the glory and the royalties. But no, it was written in the present. Or actually in the past. And it was a tough
It was written in the past, but it was available in the present.
Absolutely. See how we cover all different timelines there? I'm telling you.
It is wacky and wild. What attracted you to time travel?
Well, Larry and I have always been interested in it. But the funny thing is, and this has happened a couple of times with Larry and I when we've been trying to think up, okay, what do we want to write about next, is that our publisher, New Page Books, Michael Pye, will come up with a great idea for us. So a while back, he asked us if we were interested in doing a book on time travel. And at the time, they were looking for a real scientific, sort of deep physics kind of book. And we just felt like, you know, that's not what we do. We're not PhDs. Over time, we sort of morphed the book into something that we feel is very accessible to the average reader. You don't have to have an education in theoretical physics to understand the book, because trust us, we don't. And we also wanted to include some other aspects. We wanted to talk about time itself. We wanted to look at some of the spookier, more quote-unquote paranormal ways that we might be manipulating, altering time, and time travel conspiracies. So really what it ended up being is an opportunity for us to write about time travel, but in a way that hadn't really been done before. We really wanted it to be sort of all-encompassing.
A quick question. Time travel conspiracies, how so?
Well, there are, let's see, everything from people involved with the Roswell UFO crash in 1947 that claim that they saw the wreckage and the entities that were supposedly recovered, and suggest that they were from the future, that they were time travelers from the future.
Yes, but why would we think if you see entities or creatures around a supposed crash spaceship, why would they be from the future?
One of the theories is that, you know, everybody always says this, and I'm not sure I buy into it. One of the theories is that they come back because they want to warn us about what we're doing to the planet and what have you. But a particular theory that we write about a little bit in the book is that they're just really coming from the future. They've mastered the landscape of time. In other words, we humans are very limited to living with time in a linear fashion. But advanced civilizations may have mastered the concept of traveling through time. So they're basically coming from the future to look at us, to observe us, maybe the way that we go to a museum and we look at dinosaur displays and, you know, we go into the Amazon jungle to observe tribes that have been living the same way for thousands of years, what have you. So it could be just a very observational, educational thing for them. But at the same time, there is a lot of belief that they want to alter our disastrous plan.
Okay, but let's remember that movie Back to the Future, where the presence of people in the past doing strange things or playing around may manipulate the future. Suddenly his parents in the present become very different from his parents in his life before he went into the past and did a couple of things to make his father more brave in the face of danger. So that is the legendary paradox in time travel. If you go back through time, and even something as insignificant as killing an insect in prehistoric times may change the future in drastic ways.
Exactly. And that's one of the problems is, do we have the right? Is it ethical? Is it moral to go back into the past? And even if you change one tiny thing in your own life, thinking, well, who's it going to hurt? But through the butterfly effect or through the chain of cause and effect, you actually end up influencing and affecting so many people around you. So you're not only altering your past and present and future, but you're altering theirs. And where do we draw the line? Where is the line drawn, if there is one? Possibly the reason why these paradoxes exist is to keep us from going back in the past and messing up our present and future.
Okay, well, of course, there are other possibilities too, one of which is everything is preordained, the past,
right,
present, and the future. And what we do in the past, if we go back to the past, well, that was already part of the reality and the fabric of reality that exists. And therefore, you can't change reality, or the change in reality is part of what was meant to happen anyway.
Exactly. It's like a done deal. And no matter what you do, it's still a done deal. It's part of that done deal.
Absolutely. Or the other one being that you create a new reality, a parallel dimension, mm-hmm, and that new dimension reflects the changes that you've made.
Right. You would go back and, you know, for example, the grandfather paradox, where it says if you were to go back and shoot your grandfather, you would not have ever been born. You wouldn't be able to exist in order to go back and shoot your grandfather, like a loop. But you could go back and shoot anybody you want, and if an alternate timeline or an alternate universe is created out of that particular choice, then in one timeline you don't exist, and in one you do, and it can just go on and on and on. And that's the multiverse theory, the idea that any time a choice or an action is made, there is a universe that breaks off that accommodates every other choice and every other potential action. But that's all theoretical, and it's a nifty excuse or way around the paradoxes that seem to keep us from going back in time, at least on a philosophical level.
Of course, as a practical level, we don't know.
Exactly.
If it's happened or could happen or has happened in the past.
You know?
Right. So if we look at the fact that in the future something goes wrong with our civilization, so we try to rebuild our society, we have, for example, that TV show Terra Nova.
Right.
Where they go back into prehistoric times, try to reestablish civilization there, and make the changes that are necessary to save the people of the future. But, of course, they never get into the paradox. And they didn't get very far either because it lasted one season.
I know.
To give another example, there is, of course, science fiction stories about traveling into the future, so the paradox isn't there. For
right.
example, I wrote a series of novels with my son Grayson called Attack of the Rockoids, and the Rockoids legend starts with a time travel situation where an earthling breaks into Area 51. Are you with me so far? This is in the introductory chapters, so you can go read the sample chapter and get the sense of this. And then, for reasons that we sort of explain or not explain, he is transported way into the future where he has to save the galaxy. You know, space opera. A lot of fun. Fun story. The point is that we didn't try to look at the past and changing the past. We look at the person from the past going into the future, so the paradox doesn't exist.
True. True. That helps. The problem is, though, I mean, I still kind of think, well, if you go into the future and say everything is predestined, predetermined, there is a plan, a blueprint. If you go into the future and see something that you don't like and change it, or try to change it, you're still altering that blueprint. You're still altering that plan. You're just going off in the other direction and altering it. So somehow, say you go into the future and you stop World War V from happening, but you have to sort of look back on the chain of cause and effect that led up to it. So wouldn't all of that change as well, meaning that it would change the present, then also go back into the past and change everything that would have led up to that decision to launch World War V?
We'll talk about World War V, the consequences of time travel from the past to the future and back again with Marie Jones, one of the authors of This Book is From the Future. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
America, land of the free. But how free can you be, really, when internet viruses and malware can attack your computer? Sure, you have antivirus protection, but it's not free, is it? Until now. Now, Zone Alarm offers free antivirus protection. And independent studies show that Zone Alarm provides better malware protection than even Norton and McAfee. And they're not free, are they? Declare your freedom and go to GetBetterForFree.com. That's GetBetterForFree.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Alex Jones here with a great way to beat the blackouts, get off the grid, and generate your own supply of electrical power. Folks, with what's been going on in this country, I don't have to tell you about the power grid and just how vulnerable it is. That's in the mainstream news every day. Millions of people have lost their power in the last few weeks because of dangerous storms and killer heat that's pushing the grid beyond its capacity. I've always said that every family needs to be ready for blackouts. And if you don't have a backup system in place, I've got a great opportunity for you. Right now, our good friends at Solutions from Science are offering huge savings on their best-selling Power Hub unit. In fact, I think it's the best deal I've ever seen them make. It's literally thousands of dollars in savings. Remember, these backup systems don't need gas because they're solar-powered. That means there's no dangerous fumes and no noise. InfoWars listeners can get all the details at beattheblackouts.com. That's beattheblackouts.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris, you're back at the Paracast. We're talking to Marie Jones, who, with Larry Flaxman, wrote a book called This Book is from the Future, exploring portals, relativity, wormholes, and other adventures in time travel. Now, speaking of time travel or anything else, we have a phenomenon in the UFO field called missing time.
Oh, yes.
Where you have situations where somebody is taking a trip, say a two-hour trip, and suddenly it's 2 hours later, or they've made that two-hour progress in a shorter amount of time.
Right.
What's going on here?
I actually had that happen. I had a couple
Excuse me? Tell me more.
Yeah, I was living in L.A. at the time. This was quite a while ago. I was going to go. I was a member of the Planetary Society, and Carl Sagan was speaking at their annual conference. He was like the big keynote speaker, and I had gotten tickets because I was a member, and I was so excited. And it was a real frustrating evening trying to get out the door and get there. And I wrote about this in a couple of books where Larry and I wrote about our missing time experiences that we've each had. But anyway, I was on the 134 East. And I
explain where we're talking about geographically speaking.
I was in the valley of Los Angeles, going from Burbank into Glendale. The event was in Pasadena at the JPL Jet Propulsion.
And you didn't see the little old lady from Pasadena.
Oh, she's everywhere. She's usually surfing at the beach, so. But yeah, there's a lot of little cute little old ladies in Pasadena. But anyway, I was on the freeway, and it should have taken me, oh gosh, maybe 40, 45 minutes to get there. And I ended up just losing 2 hours of time. When I came to, I was still driving my car, but I was on a completely different freeway heading north towards Sacramento. Panicked, of course, just went into a complete panic. And I was married at the time, and that's when we had those big chunky cell phones in the West.
Yes, I remember the chunky cell phones. Okay, so you had the big cell phone. What did you do?
Pulled off the freeway. When you had those big cell phones, there's no way you could call and drive at the same time. Called my ex-husband, and I said, you know, oh, my God, I don't know where the hell I am, what happened. It was 2 hours later. I'd completely missed Carl Sagan, and he just calmed me down and just said, get back on the freeway going south. And then, you know, I was able to find my way back home. I lived in North Hollywood at the time, I should say. You know, 2 hours was gone. It was just black. It was nothing. And I have never felt like anything happened during that time. I never had any desire to find out what happened. All I cared about was the fact that I was still able to drive my car on the LA freeways and not kill anybody. But strangely enough, all these years later, in fact, last year, I was doing a radio interview with a woman named Starfire Tour, who told me that that is a notorious section of the freeway in LA for alien abductions and missing time. And I just cracked up. I was like, I don't think that's what happened. But, you know, she kind of put the seed in my head. But it was really scary. I mean, I felt like I blacked out. I had not been drinking. I didn't drink. Came 2 hours later in a completely different location, and yet somehow stayed on autopilot and was able to function on, you know, continuing to drive my car. But I hear these experiences of missing time, people driving into a weird fog and coming 500 miles up the road 10 hours later and just, you know, what happened? I thought maybe 10 minutes passed. And I kind of relate it to when I'm writing, when I'm really, really involved in writing, I will think that maybe a half hour passed. And if I look up at the clock, 3 hours has gone by. So I don't know if it's a perception thing or something much deeper and more intriguing going.
Okay, now with this kind of missing time or getting lost in the wrong place, you had no remembrances or dreams about something weird?
Nothing.
So well, it wasn't like this traditional abductee experience where you have nightmares about aliens and stuff like that?
I had always, since childhood, dreamed of aliens and UFOs and things, but I was always interested. I never looked at it as, oh, I wonder if something happened. And there really, afterwards, I had no markings on my body. I didn't go into any weird anxiety attacks. And I was a member of MUFON at the time, Mutual UFO Network, so I was immersed in all of that. And I'm telling you, the thought didn't even cross my mind. I was just so fascinated. Once the panic went away, I was fascinated by the human body's ability to operate on autopilot, even in a situation where consciously you're just not there. But no, I never had any inkling that something really bizarre or creepy happened. Who knows?
Well, I know one of our former co-hosts was on the show one time to report where he drove from Boston to New York City with a friend, and the trip took half as much as it should have taken. So a trip that would have taken maybe 4 hours or so took less than 2 hours. So in that case, it wasn't missing time, it was gained time.
Right, like they accelerated, yeah.
Do we have instances of that?
Absolutely. We've got instances of people losing time, missing time, time speeding up, people that feel like they entered a warp. They go to a certain location, they go to a museum or what have you, a park, and all of a sudden they feel like they're surrounded by people that are dressed in 18th century clothing, and it's not a, you know, any kind of fair or festival. It's almost like they entered a different timeline through a parallel dimension or what have you. So many different time anomaly experiences that are reported. And that's what I like to call them because, like you said, in some cases people are losing time. In some cases they're gaining. They're traveling much faster than they really possibly ever could have. It's just time itself is such an anomaly.
Now, of course, the skeptics will say, you know what, they're making it up. They're suffering from some sort of psychological problem.
Yeah.
So how do we prove to a third party that you had a case of missing time or gained or advanced time?
You can't. I don't think you can until they have an experience, and then they'll be a believer. But, you know, unfortunately, these are subjective personal experiences, and I don't know that there's a way to prove them unless somebody figures out what parts of the brain are involved and can put you in a laboratory setting and hook you up to electrodes and stimulate. And I know they do this with deja vu. They've actually done this with deja vu, where they can stimulate deja vu in a clinical setting.
So you think you've been there already, but that's done artificially.
Right. Well, no, not necessarily, because when you're out walking around and you have deja vu, nobody's triggering it. You know, there's some sort of external trigger, but it's environmental. So I think the only way you could prove somebody had missing time is to have someone get all hooked up in a lab with a bunch of scientists surrounding them and have them somehow miss time. But that's still not going to answer the question of why it happens organically when you're just out and about. Why did it happen to me just driving one night to go see Carl Sagan? You know, why did it happen to Joe when he was going to the grocery store, or Sally when, you know, she was going out on a date? She drove into a fog and 3 hours later she was 1,000 miles up the road. You know, that's happening organically. And we need to know what those both external and internal triggers, because I think human physiology may also have something to do with it. These things don't happen to everybody. Is there a reason for that?
Well, the other question is here, is being the right place at the wrong time or something. Do things like this happen in specific locations around the world more often than anywhere else?
Seems like England is just a hotbed. I love reading Jenny Randall's books and all the research she does. It just makes it sound like the British Isles are, I don't know. I think a lot of people will tell you that in terms of paranormal activity, like hauntings and missing time and whatnot, that there are zones of high strangeness, areas that seem to be more haunted, where the veil between realities is thinner. You hear all kinds of phrases like this thrown around. And I think that's entirely possible. My belief is that all over this planet, there are probably locations where the environment is a little bit different. Maybe the EM field is a little weaker or stronger, or there's seismic activity that goes on, or there's underground water sources, what have you. I mean, I think all of the different environmental factors have to be looked at when it comes to these hot spots. But you will hear people say, oh, absolutely. You go to Sedona and this will happen.
Okay, we'll go into Sedona and lots more of strange things going on in time and space or whatever. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, liquid CalMag vitamin D and organic iodine, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, memory power, and super male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Marie Jones joins the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Her book, This Book, is from the future, co-authored with Larry Flaxman. Since Larry's been on the show before, tell our listeners a little bit about Larry and how you guys teamed up.
Larry Flaxman is my co-author on five books and hopefully more to come. He is a paranormal investigator. He's got a very large group called ARPAS, the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies Team. He works full-time in law enforcement. Really great guy. How we met, because I had never considered writing with a partner before, is that he read my book Science, which is P-S-I-E-N-C-E, Science, which is about quantum physics and the paranormal, many years ago. That was my first big book that came out. And I had gotten tons and tons of emails from people, and we just started emailing back and forth about some of the ideas and concepts in the book, and just sort of built a friendship and then an alliance, and decided, you know, maybe let's try writing together. He's got the ability to go out in the field and look at more objectively some of the theories and ideas and concepts that we come up with that are a little more subjective. So it was like a really great idea to form this team. So the first book we wrote was called 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, and it was all about signs and sequences and number synchronicities, and it was a huge success, so we just kind of kept going.
And here you are.
Here we are.
In putting this book together, what was your starting point? What was your guidepost in coming up with this concept?
For the time travel book, we knew that we needed to present a little bit of everything, or people would say, how come you didn't write about this? So, we wanted to start.
In any case, looking at this book here, Marie, in putting this together, did it ever dawn on you that maybe there can be no time travel, maybe there can be no time anomalies, that all this stuff just can't be? It's just not possible.
Absolutely. Stephen Hawking said, if there were time travelers from the future, well, where are they? You know, why aren't they mingling about? Sure. Everything that I do and everything that Larry and I do, we like to say, we're putting the ideas out there. What if? Let's look at all of the current research. Let's look at all the current theories and present it. Whether or not we see time travel in my lifetime, I have no clue. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to master the technology by then, but certainly the theories are coming quick, and a lot of them seem very solid. If we could just master the science, and, you know, theories always come first, and then the science catches up to it.
Let me ask you, what about in the laboratory? Have they succeeded in taking, like, a tiny particle of energy, perhaps, and making it go into the future slightly, ever so slightly?
They have done that in the past and the future. They've also shown that with photons, which are light particles, that you can actually conduct an experiment and then go back later and change the outcome of the experiment. It's almost like you're going back and changing the past behavior of that photon.
Oh, I'd love to do that so much. I can think of all the things I've done. And I've lived about 300 or 400 years at least, or it feels that way. And I think all the pivotal things I've done in my life, which were big screw-ups.
Right.
And if I could go back and change them, but then I have to think what happened afterwards, you know.
The paradoxes come up again. Because whose other futures are you messing with when you change yours? You know, if it's just one little light particle, it's okay. And everything always seems to start on the quantum level first. We say, oh, we can send a photon into the future. We can send one into the past. We can even alter past behavior. But does that mean that we can extrapolate that same information on a bigger scale? And that's, of course, what people are hoping to do. There's a lot of experiments going on out at the Large Hadron Collider at CERN, where they're hoping to find evidence of parallel universes and black holes and maybe even wormholes, because all of this stuff starts theoretically, and then we hope that maybe factually it will become true. But again, I mean, if we could do this stuff with particles, it still doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for us on the human scale. We're so much more complex. There's so much more to think about. And really, for Larry and I writing the book, what we really got out of this was, again, the ethical and moral implications of messing with time. It's a big thing. People don't think about it.
Well, of course, they have that movie Time Cop, and they have a short-lived TV series about it, where you have this organization, The Future, that goes back in time to undo the things that people who meddle with time travel create.
See? You got to have whole new police departments just to deal with it.
Yeah, and Maria, I was a little bummed in all your lists of songs and TV shows and movies. One of my favorite shows as a kid was The Time Tunnel. Remember that one?
I don't remember Time Tunnel.
Yeah, it was on, what, a couple of seasons, I think, in 65, maybe 64. Was it Bobby Darin was in it, I think?
Oh, how funny. Are you
or not Bobby Darin. What,
it was James Darin.
James Darin.
It was produced by Irwin Allen, who did Lost in Space.
Oh, man. We
right?
Missed
it. And we can look at the actors here. James Darin, Robert Colbert, Whit Bissell, you probably have heard of. Lee Merriweather, who also appeared in the Batman TV series. Wasn't she one of the people who played Catwoman?
What?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. She was gorgeous. But, you know, the funny thing is...
And, yeah, she's still around.
Yeah.
She's right now 76 years old.
Wow.
And she's still doing it.
Still.
Amazing.
Still.
I'm looking over her past here. She appeared in Dragnet, Route 66, Jack Benny, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., believe it or not.
Oh, I loved that show.
Perry Mason, The Fugitive, and of course, Batman as Catwoman.
Yep.
Eartha Kitt.
She was a good one.
But yeah. The problem you always wonder is why they had so many people playing Catwoman.
Yeah, just, you know, to mix things up a bit.
But anyway, The Time Tunnel, I guess it was an okay TV series. Didn't last very long.
You know, it's funny. We originally had a big appendix with the book that listed every, oh my gosh, every TV show, movie, book, short story we could think of. And the publisher was like, oh, you've gone way over word count here, so cut it down. So we ended up taking out the appendix, and yeah, I'm sure our lists are very lacking in being complete. We'll have a few people that'll email and say, why didn't you mention this? How could you? It's like, I'm sorry. We'll mention that in part two. But
is there going to be a part two?
Not until there's a whole lot more going on. I mean, we really try to come right up to the wire. And even in the editing process, we had to make some alterations because things kept happening that sort of voided some of the things that we wrote about.
Right. There's stuff from spring of 2012, even late spring.
And you know, at some point, you have to turn the book in, and then anything that happens after that. What will happen is if over the next year or two, there's enough new information, new research, which I hope there is, we might be asked to do a revised version. And that just shows you how quickly, and that's the problem with writing any book. The minute you turn it in that same day, the day after, there are research stories coming out. Oh, darn, why didn't we include that? We wrote about the neutrino experiments and how, oh, they've reached light speed with these neutrinos. And then right when we turned the book in, you know, they found out that there were these glitches with the cables and the GPS, and it was a big bust. So we had to include that in editing. But really, it's impossible to keep up with the research that's going on.
Well, it's almost like these computer books, you know, how to use a new version of Mac OS or Windows. Yeah. And the shelf life of the book is very short because right. there's always going to be a new operating system or update that renders it obsolete. If you look at the fact that I've probably written over 30 books, but most of them are completely obsolete for all sorts of reasons. How's it feel to be obsolete, ladies and gentlemen? I can't tell you. At the introduction to the book, you talk about iPhone applications, iPhone apps that may have some time travel relationship. Explain one.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch now. There was a Time Traveler's Guide to Bristol in the United Kingdom. And it's just, you know, there are archived images that show how the city of Bristol has changed over time. And it's just a fun way to look at time travel. Of course, you're not actually doing it, but I'm sure there's going to be, I should ask my son. He probably knows about 80 of them, and he probably downloaded all of them onto his iPhone. We're just fascinated by the idea of looking back into the past. And here's another thing that Larry and I found. When we talk about time travel, this really surprised me. People are more fascinated by going into the past, even though it's already been lived, been done, than they are in the future.
Is it because we have so many regrets or the hope that even though we did something well, we could have done it better, differently? I mean, we go back to the thing I was mentioning before about pivotal parts of your life where 1 second, one act can change everything that comes after. And I can think of one instance where I got into a fight with the manager of a radio station I was working at back in the 1970s. And I'll let you know what that turned out to be and what it turned out to accomplish. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Let's keep preparedness simple. Do you need stuff for disasters? Of course you do. For over 15 years, DisasterStuff.com has, well, stuff for disasters. See? Easy to remember. DisasterStuff.com. Want free shipping on a new Berkey water filter? DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. Lots of folks want an EMP Faraday bag to protect sensitive electronics during a solar or nuclear event. Now for a limited time, all survival gear purchases over $75 include a free 8x8-inch EMP Faraday bag. Just enter promo code EMPBAG when you check out at DisasterStuff.com. We're also a Country Living Grain Mill authorized dealer. Plus, we offer freeze-dried foods by Alpine Air and Wise Foods. We also carry emergency kits, survival seeds, and much more. Preparedness should be simple, and it is. Just remember, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.